Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brochas Daf Chof Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins on Daf Chof Dalid. You will notice the narrow lines of the Gemara, 6 lines before they get wide. In the middle of the line, you'll notice a slash mark indicating that this is a new point of thought. Bo mine Rav Yosef Brei de Rav Nechunya me Rav Yehuda. Here we will be dealing with people that are sleeping in the same bed, and it can be assumed from the Gemara that we're dealing with people that were not clothed. They slept unclothed in the bed, and here the question is, can they, or how do they say Kriya Shema in such a state? So the question was asked of Rav Yehuda, Shnayim sheyishenim b'mita achas, 2 that are sleeping in one bed, Ma'u shezeh yachzir pono v'yikra kriya shma, v'zeh yachzir pono v'yikra kriya shma. Would it be alright for each one of them to turn away from one another and say the kriya shma in that fashion, so that you don't have a situation where one is looking at the other's exposure, we'll say? Amar Lei, so Rav Yehuda answers, Hachi Amar Shmuel, V'afilu Ishtoi Imoi. The expression V'afilu, you'll notice, is dashed, underlined, where it seems to be that it's obvious that with others it would be okay, and even if one's wife is there, this would be an acceptable solution. Maskif Lo Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef objects, Ishto V'lo Mibayo Acher. Are you suggesting that the case of the wife is an extreme case, and it goes without saying that it would be okay if it were someone else? Adarabo, to the contrary, ishto kegufo, a man's wife is considered like himself, and that would be the example of the least level of physical attraction as far as this is concerned, and therefore it would be more likely to say that it's easier to allow a person to be with his wife in that position rather than some outsider. The Rashi says on this, Vafilu ishto imo, this is going on Shmuel's comment, Vahu shiachzir ponov, provided he turns away, the cholzman shein ponim ponim keneged ponim, as long as they are facing one another, pshitolei de osur, that's obvious, that would be forbidden, diko hirhur negias ervo al yedei evorei tashmish. Then when they're actually facing one another and there's physical contact, so there is contact between the respective physical organs that will cause arousal, and that would certainly be prohibited for the recitation of Kriya Shema. So the Gemara now, after Rav Yosef having asked the question, is why is it that you say that even one's wife, and certainly it would be okay with others, when if anything, ishto kegufo, one's wife is like himself, and as Rashi says, v'rogiel bon, he's accustomed to her. V'lekihuhu kulehayin, under those circumstances, it would be less wandering thoughts than in the case of somebody else there. So let's read this again in the Gemara. Adarabo ishto kegufo, acher lav kegufo. Someone else is not like oneself. Meisvei. The Gemara presents a Tanaic source that we are numbering with a number 1. This is a convenience numbering, so that as we continue in the Gemara, after the Gemara presents different Tanaic sources, we'll be able to refer to each one with its number. So the question is raised, Meisvei, Shnayim shishenu b'mito achas, 2 are sleeping in the same bed, Zeh machzir ponov v'korei, v'zeh machzir ponov v'korei. Each one turns away and says, Kriyashma, v'tanyo ida, achriti, another source says, Hayoshen b'mito, uvonov v'nei beisoi b'tzidoi, man is sleeping in his bed and his children are with him. Harei ze lo yikro kriyashma, elon kein hoiso talis mafsekes b'nehem. So he shall not say kriyashma unless there is a piece of material, a sheet, separating them. So there has to be a physical separation. Ve'im hoyu bonov uvnei beiso ketanim, if the children that are with him in the same bed are small or young, mutar, then it would be allowed, seemingly without this need for the sheet. These two sources would seem to be at odds with one another. The first source saying that simply turning away is enough. The second source seeming to say that you need to have some type of sheet or interposition. Bishlomo l'Rav Yosef lo kashi, as far as Rav Yosef's approach to this matter is concerned, there is no difficulty in resolving these sources. Ha b'ishtoi, the first source which says turning away is enough, that's if you're dealing with one's wife, which we said is the lowest level problem when it comes to this matter of togetherness in a bed, and simply turning away is enough. Ha b'acher, the second source, source number two, that has this talis requirement, is with someone other than one's wife. Elo l'Shmuel kasha, but according to Shmuel, who seems to say everyone is okay, when Shmuel says even one's wife, so then how do you explain the second source which has a talis requirement? Omar loch Shmuel. So Shmuel responds, l'Rav Yosef minicha, according to Rav Yosef, who is matir with regard to Ishto, who says that one can be mekil with regard to Ishto, v'ha tanya, well, we have another Tanaic source that will present a problem to Rav Yosef, which reads as follows, hoyo yoshen b'mita, uvnei beso b'mita, and the term b'nei beso, we're going to assume right now, is including one's wife. And this point you can see in Rashi under Dibur Masel Hoyo Yoshim Bemita Uvenei Beso, the Ishto, Rashi says Ishto Bichlal Beso, Ishto, one's wife is included in this. Lo Yikra Kriyashma, the Gemara continues, Lo Yikra Kriyashma, Elim Kein Hoiso Taliso Mafsekes Beinehen. So here you see a talis requirement, even if one's talis, again, a piece of fabric, a material, some cloth, sheet, separating them. Well, Elo, my Isloch Lemeimar, so what is Rav Yosef going to say? Because as far as this source is concerned, there's a talis separation requirement which Rav Yosef did not seem to acknowledge. So, when dealing with one's wife, so what is he going to have to say? Ishto, the Rav Yosef, Tanoi, he. The issue of Ishto is, in fact, a machlokes tanoim, where source number one is matir, without the sheet between them, and source number three is strict. Is prohibiting unless there's a sheet. L'didinami, so Shmuel will tell us as well, Tanoi hi, the issue is a machlokes tanoim, and Shmuel, who is mekil, is relying on source number one. Omar mar, ze machzir pono v'kori kriyashma. The source we saw above suggested, and we have a little arrow indicating where the source was quoted above, just a few lines up. You can align these arrows and you'll see. And it said they're just turning away, even though there seems to be continued physical contact, but it's back-to-back contact. And that's okay. Ah, the Gemara asks, Vo'iko agavos, is there not the posterior section of the human anatomy that remains in contact? And is that not a problem? So the Gemara says, Mesayel Rav Huna, this source supports Rav Huna's contention, Yom Rav Huna agovois ein bohem mishum erva. The issue of contact at that particular point of the anatomy does not constitute a problem of erva. Erva, we'll have to say, is the realm, in this realm, using just a loose term, the realm of immodesty. It doesn't create a problem of erva with regard to the need for propriety when it comes to Kriyashma recitation. Lemo Mesayale l'Rav Huna. Can we say the following is a support to Rav Huna? The Gemara will reject this attempt, but for the meantime, can we say that this is this is a support? The following source: Ho'isha Yosheves v'kitzel lo chaloso aruma. A woman can be seated And kotso is to separate, chala is the dough separation that's given as a tithe to a kohen. And in order to separate, one also has to make a brocha. And she can be doing this aruma, naked, because as far as the prohibition of exposed erva, exposed private parts, is concerned, her being seated on the ground anatomically, in effect, covers the problematic area of the woman's anatomy, and therefore it's okay for her to be in this state where she's unclothed but seated on the ground, so that her erva is covered by the ground. But with a man, because of his anatomical structure, so there is the forward limbs, the questionable limbs are still exposed. So what do we see from here? We see that agavos, once agavos are covered, as the posterior section is covered, as facing the ground, so there is no problem. The Gemara says this is not a solution, this is not a support to Rav Huna. Tirgama Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Kigon Shehoyu Poneh Tuchos B'Karka. The case featuring the challah is that she's tuchos, literally stuck to the ground. It's stuck or maybe pressing down on the ground so that there's total coverage. What was the Gemara's attempt, though? So if we look in Rashi's Dibur Masal Avo Lo Ha'ish, the source describing the woman would have been all right. The man, it's not okay. Mitnei Shabetzin Vagid Bolten Venirin, by the man, his male organs are still visible. So the man naked wouldn't be able to make a brocha and separate challah in that state. But with regard to the woman, it's okay. V'af al gav shemegulos agavoseha v'hainu siyata. Even though when the woman is seated, her posterior is still exposed, it still was mutter, indicating to us that agavos ein bo hemishum erva. The Gemara then answered, and it was Tirgum Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, and said, no, there she's clinging in a forceful fashion to the ground, where even the agavos are groundward, so that she's completely unexposed with regard to her organs of sexuality, plus her agavos. Omar Mar. Once again, we have a quote from that which was mentioned earlier. In order to find where this is coming from, notice the little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, and you can align this with the star a few lines above to see where it's coming from. Im hoyu bonav uvnei beiso ktanim mutar. The source said that there would be no need for a talis separation if they were young, if his children were young. V'ad kama, till what age? Omar Rav Chisda. Then you'll notice in this Gemara there are two versions, and we've noted them with Roman numerals number 1 and 2, and you'll see the next line, Iko Diamri, is squiggled underlined, indicating the alternative version. So in the meantime, Rav Chisda says, Tinoikis bas shalosh shanim v'yoy mechod, a girl up till three, a daughter up till 3 years and a day, v'tinok ben teisha shanim v'yoy mechod, a son up till 9 years and a day. They can be together with their father, and as we described before, unclothed, facing away from each other, and no need for a talis separation. And he can recite Kriya Shema. Iko di Amri, Tinoikis bas yud aleph shana, v'yoyim echod, v'tinok ben shteim oso shana v'yom echod. This second version has the girl up till 11 years and 1 day, and a boy up till 12 years and a day would be okay, as we described before, for the Kriyat Shema recitation. As far as these last ages are concerned, Idi v'Idi, both the boy and the girl, Ad Kidei Shodayim Nochonu Usa'oreich Tzimeach, using the Pasuk in Yecheskel, it's a reference to an age at which the pubic hairs start to develop, so that we're saying that up till the point that these pubic hairs start to develop, it's okay for a man's son and daughter to be positioned facing away from one another for the father's recitation of Kriya Shema to take place, even without a talis interposition. Omale Rav Kahana l'Rav Ashi. Rav Kahana asks Rav Ashi, Hosom, back on Chof Gimel Omid Beis, regarding the issue of tefillin under one's head and one's wife present. So there, Omar Rava, afagav the tiyufto de Shmuel, even though the Tanaic source repudiated Shmuel, Hilchos of Avosei de Shmuel nevertheless will rule like Shmuel, and the Gemara at the very top line of this Gemara gave the reason for that, kolin turinu tvei odef mi bizyoni. However, the question I want to ask is, says Rav Kanas, hachama here, regarding the recitation of Kriya Shema with one's wife present. See, in this Gemara as well, Shmuel has a comment, makes his opinion known. And we want to know, and this was, when we say Shmuel's opinion was made known, we see the double star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the double star above, and you see the line on which Shmuel's name appeared. And he said that the turning away from one another is sufficient with regard to a man with his wife as well. So the Gemara's question is, Hilchasa kavose hochamai, here, what is the story? Is the halacha going to be like Shmuel? Omale, Otu, now, we should point out that we did see a Tanaic source that was against Shmuel, and we had called that source number 3. So our question is, do we follow Shmuel nonetheless? Amale, so Rav Ashi answers, Otu kulu b'chara machto machtinu, elo hechod itmar, itmar, hechod lo itmar, lo itmar. Ravashi says to you, just because in one, just to paraphrase the Gemara before getting involved with an actual translation, Ravashi is saying to Rav Kana, just because in one place we paskin like Shmuel, that means in all other places we're supposed to paskin like him. So the Gemara has said, Otu kulu b'chado machto machtinu, are we to assume that everything is woven together in the same sheet? No, not so. Where it says emphatically or explicitly that we'll paskin like Shmuel, so be it. Where it's not said to paskin like Shmuel, so we won't paskin like Shmuel. The Gemara continues with a new point. Amale Rav Mori Rav Papa, and by the way, on the side of our Gemara, we have a topic heading that we'll get to that in a moment. This one line though is a separate point. Amale Rav Mori Rav Papa, Seor Yotze Bebigdo Ma Hu. The Seor referred to here is hair coming from the pubic area, that even though the person is closed, there's a pubic hair protruding outwards. Is that called irva with regard to Kriya Shema, which would then serve to prohibit the person from saying Kriya Shema because this pubic hair is exposed? The question was asked of Rav Papa, so Rav Papa answers, Kora Ole, Rav Papa referred to Rav Mori the following. He said, Seor, Seor. What he was trying to say is, what difference does it make? In other words, it's not a problem. It's mere hair and nothing more than that. And now, as we said, we have a topic heading, the Nosei Tznius, Tefach, B'Isha Erva, the issue of modesty, and concerning that, we deal with the issue of exposed, a handbreadth of exposed body of flesh, areas that ordinarily are covered. So the Gemara says, Omar Rav Yitzchok, Tefach b'isha erva. As we said, a tefach of exposed female body, which is ordinarily covered, if it's a handbreadth that's exposed, constitutes something called erva. Lamai, regarding what are you asking this question? So you can see that we have a scheme of double underlining to show the stages of analysis. You have Elamo here, and a few lines later, Ela. So, Elamo lista kule ba, if it's a question of looking at a woman, gazing upon a woman to, let's say, admire her beauty, and you are saying that this is a problem only if a tefach of flesh that's ordinarily covered is exposed, and only then there is a problem. Well, that's not true. Rav Sheshis will tell you that even with much less exposed, it's forbidden to gaze upon a woman other than one's own wife. It's forbidden to gaze and admire another woman's beauty. So he says, Rav Sheshis explains, Loma mona hakosef tachshitin shebechutz im tachshitin shebefnim. This is a reference to the In the Torah, when the Jews fought and conquered the Midian people, so a number of different artifacts and ornaments ornaments and jewelry are listed. And amongst the different ornaments that are listed are those that are external and those that are worn underneath one's clothing. Why does the Pasuk list them together, the Tachshitin Shebechutz with the Tachshitin Shebefnim? Lo mar loch, to convey the following idea. Kol ha-mestakel be'etzbe ketanah shel isha, one who looks at even the small finger of a woman in an admiring fashion. Ki'ilu mestakel b'mokam ha-torf, it's as if he's looking at the woman's most intimate body parts. So that as far as what we call the Isser Histaklus, the prohibition of gazing upon a woman, the tefach exposure factor is not an issue. In other words, even without the tefach exposed, there would be a problem of histaklus. Elo be ishto l'kriyashma, the pshat that the Gemara accepts, as far as what does it mean, tefach b'isha erva, it's a reference to one's own wife if she is she's insufficiently clothed, which means that a tefach of ordinarily covered body parts are exposed, he, the husband, would not be allowed to recite kriyashma. Omar Rav Chista, shoik b'isha erva. And here the Gemara lists other parts of the body that need to be covered. The shoik is the woman's leg, and it's most likely that it's the part from the ankle till the knee, because the part above the knee is called a yerech, the thigh. So the shoik would be the lower part of the leg that needs to be covered. That's shenemar gali shoik ivri naharos uksif tigol ervosech gam teroeh cherposech. These psukim are found in Yeshaya, and they are in proximity of one another. So you see that in one pasuk the shoik limb is mentioned, and in the following pasuk the idea of exposure of erva is mentioned. So the shoik is associated with erva. Omar Shmuel kul beisha erva. The voice, and most would take it to mean the singing voice of a woman, constitutes erva. Shenemar ki kolech orev umarech nove. Rashi explains that since the posuk is praising the woman's voice, that categorizes it as something called erva. Omar of Sheshes, Seor beisha erva. Exposed hair of a woman is considered erva. Shenemar Seorech Keider Hoizim. Again, a posuk that's praising the beauty of the woman's hair. The Gemara continues, and maybe before we learn the Gemara, we should just point out that Rashi mentions under Dibur Masel Erva on the last narrow line, these different limbs are called erva. One is lehistakel, looking upon that is a problem, and v'chein beishto lekriyashman. Likewise, with regard to one's own wife, but of course it's mutter to look at one's wife, but it is with her. The wife does pose a problem if these are exposed with regard to reciting kriyashma in her presence when these things are exposed. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Chanina, we have a marking highlighting Rabbi Chanina, and on the side of our Gemara, we note that this double underline represents Edus Shel Rabbi Chanina al Minhoge Rabbi. Stories involving Rabbi Chanina testifying concerning things he saw with regard to Rabbi. That's Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Omar Rabbi Chanina, Ani Roisi is Rabbi Shetola Tfilov. I saw Rabbi hang his tefillin. Meisve, Hatoyla Tfilov Yitlu Lo Chayov. And the Tanaic source admonishes one who hangs his tefillin. He says that one who hangs his tefillin, so his life will be hung. Dorshe Chamuros Amru. Those who darshan psukim say as follows. V'hoyu chayecho teluim luch meneged, that one's life will be dangling in front of him. Ze hatoyle tefilov. This is a reference to one who hangs his tefillin. So the Rashi points out, Zeh HaToilet Tefillin, how do you connect this Pasuk, V'hoyu Chayecha Tzluim Loch Mineged, how does that tie into Tefillin? So the Rashi says, Shehatoro Chayov Shel Adam, the Torah is one's life. We say, Ki Hu Chayecha V'Oirech Yomecha, V'Romaz Loch HaKosov Sheyiklu Chayov, that one who hangs his Tefillin, which is associated with Torah, so his life will be hung or suspended. Anyway, we see a problem. On the one hand, Rebbe was noted as having hung his tefillin, and you see in this source that it's quite dangerous to follow that practice. Loi kasha, ha beretzua, ha bektitza. It all depends on how the tefillin were hung. If they were hung from their straps with the boxes, the ktsitsa are the boxes hanging down, that would be a problem. But if, let us say, you suspended the boxes, the bottom of the tefillin, on some type of hook or surface, and the straps were hanging down, that would be okay. The Ivoy Seimo, another approach to resolve Rebbe with this Tanaic source, Viboy Seimo, lo shno ritzuv, lo shno ktsitsa, osur. There is no difference. Both methods of suspending tefillin would be prohibited because the tefillin are exposed and it's not proper respect. The chitola Rebbe, and Rebbe's hanging of the tefillin was the kista tola. The tefillin were wrapped up in their tefillin sack, and the sack was suspended. The Gemara asks, Ihochi Maidla Memra. Well, if that's the case, what need does there be to teach such something so obvious? So, Mahu de Temo Tiboy Hanocha Kesefer Torah. One might have thought that tefillin are treated the way you would treat a Sefer Torah, and Sefer Torah would not be allowed to be suspended in a bag, but rather have to be laid down or positioned in a proper form. Hanocha means it's an expression meaning not suspended but rather placed down. Komash Malon, the Edus concerning Rebbe shows that we don't go that far with regard to the tefillin. The Omar Rebbe Chanina noticed the same marking. So another story involving Rebbe and that which Rebbe Chanina saw. Ani roisi es Rebbe shegihe kupiek vinis atesh verok. And the Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis ume mashmesh bevigdoi. Avalo hoya mis atef. Uksha u mefahe koya meir yodoi al santero. So we just read the entire edus of Rabbi Chanina concerning Rebbe, and now we go over it. We're talking about Rabbi Chanina noticing Rebbe during his Shmona Esrei. And it's very likely that we're talking about on various occasions, but they're all put together over here. I noticed Rebbe Shegihek. Rashi says on this, it's a sound that emanates from a person after he experiences a feeling of satisfaction from a meal. We might call that a burp or a belch. So I saw Rebbe do that, or I heard Rebbe do that during his Shmon Esrei. Upihek. This is what Rashi calls a yawn, and Vinisatesh, a sneeze. The rock is to spit. Rashi says spit on the ground, and at the top of Omid Beis umemashmesh bevigdo. This Rashi says at the top umemashmesh bevigdo lahavir akino ha'oksoso, to remove a lice that was pricking him. He used his garment to remove it. But one thing is the Gemara said avolohoya misatef, that is if his talis fell off while he was davening, so he wouldn't pick it up. That would have constituted a hefsek in the davening. And another point, he says, is that when he was mefahek, which we saw, which we explained before, was yawning, when he would yawn, hoya maniach yodo al santero, he would cover his mouth so that his open mouth would not be exposed to the sight of others. Mesfei. Now the Gemara raises an objection. In other words, how could Rebbe do all of these things when you find them negative in the following source? Hamashmiya koilo betviloso, one who says his Shmon Esri in such a way that others, that it's audible to others. Hareze mikatni amona, he is one of little faith. In other words, he's making his Shmon Esri audible because he gives the impression that he feels that the Almighty can't hear him. So he's called of little faith. Hamagbia kolo betfilos, the one who raises his voice during his Shmon Esri, hareze minaviyeh hasheker, he's considered like a false prophet. And the reason for this analogy is a pasuk, and Rashi quotes the pasuk that it says regarding them, vayikru b'ko gadol, and they called out with a loud voice. The source continues. Now here we've used some emphasis markings because this is where the question really is to be seen. Megahek umefahek, one who during tefillah makes these sounds, the gihuk sound, which we call the belching or the yawning, hareze migase horuach. Person like that is considered of a high or lofty or haughty spirit. Hamis atish mitfiloso, one who sneezes during his davening, simin ra loi, it is a bad sign. Viyesh oimrim nikur shu mechur, it demonstrates that he is uncouth or he is disgusting. Harok betfilasa, one who spits during his davening, ki'ilu rok b'fnei ha'melech, it's considered as if he spit in front of the king. So you have this source which mentions all of the practices that Rabbi Chanina said he saw regarding Rabbi, and they're all negative. So how could Rabbi do these things? Bishlomo megahik umefahik lo kashya, as far as the inconsistency or incongruity of this source with Rebbe regarding these actions of belching or burping and yawning, there is no problem. It all depends. If it comes out of from an uncontrolled situation, an unplanned, uncontrolled situation called onsa, that's okay. If, however, it's something that he initiates, if the person initiates, that is a problem. Elo misatesh amisatesh kasha. But with regarding the sneezing is ostensibly, under all circumstances, it's something uncontrolled. So it's called be'oines. Well, how can you resolve the Rebbe with the source? Especially the source, which says that it's a simin ra, how could that be if it's something that comes as a result of an oines? The Gemara answers, and you'll notice how we use the double underline here and before to, as we say under our mivne heading in the margin, yishuvei hakushos al hanhogas Rebbe, these are resolutions regarding the source with Rebbe. So misatesh amisatesh nami lo kashyo kan milamalo kan milamato. It depends. If it's a lamalo, means from above, a regular nose sneeze, that is what we say is uncontrollable, and that's okay. And milamato, this would be a function of passing wind from below, and that's not proper. The Omer Rabbi Zera ho milso iboy li Bay Rav Hamnuna. The following is something that was I needed to know when I was learning by Rav Hamnuna. Utkila li kikule tamudoi, and it's tequila means it's equal to in weight. In other words, I place the same weight on it as I do all of the rest of my learning. And it's noteworthy that Rabbi Zera was someone who sneezed regularly. So this was important for him to know. Hamis atesh betfiloso simin yofelo, one who sneezes during his davening, it's a good sign. Kishem she'oisim loy nachas ruach milamato, just like a person achieves a good feeling in oilam hazeh. Milamato means down here in this world. It has a person after sneezing feels relieved or feels better. So kach oisin loy nachas ruach milamalo. That it's a sign that he is going to be dealt with pleasantly above. So far, we've dealt with the megayik, mefayik, misatesh problems. Elo rok harok kashi. What about the issue of the spitting? Rebbe spat, and the source says that that's considered like spitting in front of a king, which is not nice. Rok harok nami lo kashia. there is also no contradiction with regard to the issue of the spinning. Efshar kid Rav Yehuda. One can follow Rav Yehuda's method. The Omer Rav Yehuda, hoya oimed b'tfilo v'nizdamin loy roik, person in the middle of his davening felt an accumulation of spit, mavlio b'taliso. He can have it absorbed in his talis, in his garment. The im talis noyahu, if it's a beautiful talis and the spit would ruin it. So mavlio b'afar ksuso. The afar ksuso is a head turban, and the head turban had its two ends hanging down on his shoulders, so he can use that for the spittle, and then that would have been what Rebbe could have done, as opposed to spitting directly on the ground, which is considered something improper for one who is davening. Ravina havekoi achorei de Rav Ashi nizami lo rok. Ravina was standing behind Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi felt the saliva or spittle accumulation. Paske lachorei, and he cast it behind him. He cast it off to behind him. Amalei lo sover lo mor lo hod Rav Yehuda mavlio b'afrak suso. So Ravina, who saw this, asked Rav Ashi, "Do you not hold from Rav Yehuda, who suggested have it absorbed in your head turban?" Amalei. So Rav Ashi answered, "Ano anino datoi. I am what we call an istinus. I am fastidious, and that would have bothered me. So I had no option other than spitting behind me the way I did." You'll notice this is a quote from that which we mentioned earlier. There's a star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and you can align this with the star above, third line from the top. One who prays in an audible fashion, he's considered of little belief. Omar Rav Huna, lo shono elo shiyochol l'chavein es libo b'lachash. This admonition is only if the individual could have achieved proper concentration through a silent davening. Aval ein yochol l'chavein es libo b'lachash. If he has trouble concentrating and having proper intention with the silent approach, so then mutter. Then it would be allowed to be what's called mashmiel kolo, pray in an audible fashion. Ani mi l'biyochid. This is also qualified. This is only allowed if one is davening by himself. Aval b'tzibur, if one is in the midst in a communal prayer, and he's davening with others in shul, for example, then under no circumstances will we justify an audible davening, because osi l'mitra tzibur, you're going to cause a disturbance to others. Others who are disturbed by hearing you daven in an audible fashion. Rabbi Abba havekom mishtamit minei Rav Yehuda. Rabbi Abba, mishtamit is to avoid. He avoided direct contact with Rav Yehuda. Davikoboi lemesak li'aro d'Israel. Rabbi Abba had intention of traveling and settling in the land of Israel, and Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that one is not allowed to leave the country of Bavel. The Omer Rabbi Yehuda, kola oilu mi Bavel Eretz Yisrael, anyone who ascends Bavel to go to Eretz Yisrael, oiver ba'asei, he is guilty of a violation of a positive command. Shenema, the pasuk says, Bavela yuvo'u v'shama yu ad yom pokti osam nu mashem. And Rav Yehuda takes this to mean, and there are those that disagree with Rav Yehuda's approach, but Rav Yehuda's approach was that it's an instruction to the Jewish people that I'm exiling you to Bavel, and there you shall remain until the day that I redeem you. So if you're to remain in Bavel, so it would follow that you cannot leave Bavel to go to Eretz Israel. Nevertheless, Rabbi Abba disagreed with Rav Yehuda's understanding of that pasuk, and he felt that it was referring to the Klei HaMikdash, and therefore he didn't want to, before going to Eretz Israel, so Rabbi Abba didn't want to confront Rav Yehuda. Omar, so Rabbi Abba said, Ezel v'eshma minei milsa, mi beis vado, v'hoder apik, I'm going to go and hear from him from outside his base medrash. I'm going to hear some Torah from his base vada. Is a place that people would get together for learning, and then I'll go leave Bavel Teretz Yisrael. Ozal, he went ashichei l'tano dekotoni kamei Rav Yehuda. He went and heard someone reciting a Tanaic source in the presence of Rav Yehuda as follows. A person was in the midst of his Shmon Esrei, and he sneezed. Mamten, in this case, sneeze is really a euphemism. It's a reference to milamata, from below, passing wind. Mamtin ad sheyichle horuach. He should pause until the foul odor passes. V'chozer mispalel and then resume his prayer. Ikol diamri hoya oimed betfila ubikesh lisatesh. Here the emphasis is on the word ubikesh. This is where there's a difference in this version, and he has a feeling of the need to pass wind. Marchik la'achorov arba amos. He shall retrace his steps or retract four amos. Umisatesh, and then pass the wind. And then wait for the bad odor to pass. V'chozer umisfal, then resume his davening. The Omer, and say, before he resumes his davening, he should say the following passage. Ribonu shel olam, yitzartonu nikovim nikovim, you formed us with orifices, chalum chalum, with empty, with organs that are hollow. Golu vidu lefonecho, cherposenu uchlimosenu b'chayenu v'achrisenu rima v'tolea. You know very well about our shame during our lives, and that our future, our end, is decomposition and worms. So this is what's recited sort of like as an interim passage after the person had passed the wind and is about to resume his Shemoneh Esrei. Rashi adds, this is said actually at that point of his pausing, because and you might ask, well, how can he say this in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei? So Rashi says, V'oymer, he says, B'soichat filo, doha mufsekes ve'omedes kvar, al yedei ha-ruach, anyway had to break because of the wind, of the passing of the gas. V'alafikoch, yochol ha-hafsik nami v'lomad over zeb emsa. Therefore, since he's already in a state of pause, he can say this as well. Back in the Gemara, Omar, so Rebbe Abba, who had gone to the Rabbi Yehuda's Beis Medrash to hear this before his trip to Eretz Yisrael, he then reacted and said, "Ilu lo basi elu shmo adover zeh, dai, if I had come only to hear this, that would have been enough." In other words, he was very grateful that he heard this particular teaching. Tonu Rabbanan, hoyo yoshin betaliso, veino yochol lahotzi es roshu mipnei atzina. Person is sleeping betaliso. Let us paraphrase this and say he's sleeping unclothed under a sheet, and he can't, or a blanket, and he can't put his head out. He needs to say Kriya Shema. He's unclothed under the blanket, but he can't put his head outside Natsino because of the great cold outside. Choses betaliso al tzavar v'kori Kriya Shema. So he draws down the blanket or the sheet over his neck and says Kriya Shema v'yeshomrim al libo. And a second version, or a second opinion in this source, says over his chest. The Tanakama, but regarding the Tanakama, whose opinion was just over his neck, hare libo roya eso erva, is it not so that his chest, his heart, and his organs of sexual organs are on the same plane? And in other words, his heart is exposed to his erva. Kosovar, the answer to that is libo rosa erva muta. The fact that his chest is on the same plane with his erva, that is okay. The only objection that this opinion would have would be that his face, his mouth, from where the words of Kriya Shema are coming out, would be on the same plane as his erva, and that problem is solved by drawing the talus down over his neck. Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav Yochanan, hoya mahalich b'mavois amatunafois. A person who is passing through, is traveling through, walking through filthy passageways, alleyways. Maniach yodo al piv v'kori Kriya Shema. He is to place his hand over his mouth, and even though he's walking through these mivuos matanos, as long as his mouth is covered, he can say the Kriya Shema. Omar le Rav Chista. And we should point out, by the way, before we go on, that this particular Gemara is presented with two versions, and they're noted with our markings Aleph and then an Ikod the Amri Beis a little bit later. So Omar le Rav Chista. Rav Chista says to Rav Huna, Ha Elokim, it's an expression of being astounded or wonderment. It's a lotion of oath. He says, "Im omer li Rabbi Yochanan befumei." If I would have heard this from Rabbi Yochanan's own mouth, befumei means in his own mouth. Lo tzayasno lai, I would not lead. I would not hearken unto him. I wouldn't listen to that. I wouldn't follow that leniency. Now, Ikol diamri, another version by way of names. That's really the same story, but different names. Omer Rabba Baruchanan Rabbi Shuman Levi. Hoya Mahalech Bemivus Matanovos, Mavi Meniach Yodo Alpi Vakari Kriyashma. So Rabbi Bamachanin, quoting Rabbi Shulman Levi, says one who is walking through filthy alleyways and needs to say Kriyashma, it is sufficient for him to cover his mouth and continue his walking through the alleyway and say the Kriyashma. Omale Rav Chisda. Here you have the same responder. It is Rav Chisda Ha'olokim. Imar Mali Rav Shulman Levi Befumei, had Rav Shulman Levi told me in his own mouth, Lo Tzayasna Le, I wouldn't listen to him. The Gemara asks, Umi Omar Rav Huna Hochi, would Rav Huna have said thusly? Rav Huna quoted Rav Yochanan with this leniency, but would Rav Huna have held by such a leniency? V'Omar Rav Huna, Talmud Chacham Osir Lo Lamo B'Mokam HaTinoifes, a Torah scholar is forbidden to stand in a filthy place. Lefi Shi'i Efshir Lo Lamo B'Li Hihur Torah, it's impossible for a person who's enwrapped in Torah, whose life is one of Torah study, for him to stand without thinking Torah. So what do we see? We see that the Mokam HaTinofes and Torah are anathema to one another. So how can Rav Huna quote Rabbi Yochanan as saying that one is allowed to go through a dirty alleyway and say the Kriyat Shema? Lo kashya, there is no difficulty. Kan ba'imed, kan b'mahalech. It all depends. If he is stationary, that's this most recent quote of Rav Huna, that would be forbidden. If, however, he is walking through, it's okay. The Gemara asks, Umi Omar Rabbi Yochanan Hochi, V'Omar Rabba Rabba Chana Omar Rabbi Yochanan, would Rabbi Yochanan had said thusly? But Rabbi Yochanan says, B'chom okum muta laharir, b'divrei Torah chutz mi beis ha-merchatz mi beis ha-kisei, that in all places a person is allowed to preoccupy himself with Torah thought except for a bathhouse and a bathroom facility. V'chitema hocha nami kan boimed kan mahalich. And if you try to say, well, this too is all dependent on the difference is whether he's standing or walking. In other words, this last quote of Rabbi Yochanan where he's stringent is only because he is standing. And the original Rabbi Yochanan quote is because he is walking. Is that, if you try to say that as a distinction, well, Amy, is that so? V'ha Rabbi Avohu, hafika ozil basrei de Rabbi Yochanan, hafika kori kriyashma. Rabbi Avohu was walking behind Rabbi Yochanan, and he was reciting kriyashma. Kimota mevosim mutunafos ishtik. And when he got to a filthy alleyway, he silenced. He stopped. Omale Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Avohu asked Rabbi Yochanan, lehechon ahader? Well, to what point should I go back when I resume saying the Kriyat Shema? Omale, so Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Avohu, im shohis kedei ligmor es kula chozer l'rosh. If you paused enough time to have recited the entire Kriyat Shema, then you've got to go back to the beginning. So it seems from here that Rabbi Yochanan is stringent, is restrictive, even in a walking fashion. So, just to review, we have in Rabbi Yochanan, the second of the widest lines where it seems there's no problem of the recitation of Kriyat Shema walking through a dirty alleyway. And here you have a story involving Rabbi Avohu. And Rabbi Yochanan is instructing Rabbi Avohu regarding the Kriyat Shema, acknowledging the fact that he paused. And the whole issue is where, from what point to resume. But the recitation of Kriyat Shema in the dirty alleyway seems to represent a problem as far as Rabbi Yochanan himself is concerned as well. The Gemara says, not so. Hochi ko'omale. Rabbi Yochanan thusly was conversing or was communicating with Rabbi Avohu. L'didi lo svirli. I don't hold from the need to have stopped whatsoever. I hold that as long as you cover your mouth, you can continue saying the Kriyat Shema while walking through a dirty alleyway. Liditcha, but you on your terms, you Rabbi Avohu, the severe aloch, you who are exercise restraint and stringency and stopped the Kriyat Shema, then I will answer you on your terms. Im shohis kedei ligmoris kulo chozer l'rosh. If you pause that long enough time to say the whole thing, then you've got to go back to the beginning. Once again, but I, says Rabbi Yochanan personally, don't hold that you needed to pause to begin with. Tanya kavosei de Rav Huna, Tanya kavosei de Rav Chisda. We have Tanaic sources that support both of these approaches. Tanya Kavase de Rav Huna, Hamahalech, we have a Tanaic source supporting Rav Huna. Rav Huna above quoted Rav Yochanan with a lenient approach to things, and it says in this Tanaic source, Hamahalech, Mimavos, Mutanafos, Meniach Yodo, Alpiv, Yikur Kriyashma, one who's walking through a dirty alleyway, it is sufficient for him to cover his mouth and can recite the Kriyashma. Tanya Kavase de Rav Chisda, and here we have a Tanaic source supporting Rav Chisda with an opposite point of view, Hoyimahalech, Mimavos, Mutanafos, Hamutanafos, one who's walking through a dirty alleyway, lo, Yikro Kriyashma, shall not say Kriyashma v'lo or Elohim hoya kariva uvo posek. And not only that, but if he was reading, so he shall stop, he shall pause. Lo posak mai, let's say he didn't pause. Omer of Mesha bar Breder Bishul ben Levi, Olof HaKosuv Omer, regarding him, the posak would say, V'gam ani nosati lehem chukim lo toivim u'mishpotim lo yichyu bohem. A posuk indicating those who don't follow the way of the Torah, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu will deal accordingly with those who don't follow the proper ways. Rav Asi Omar Mehocha. Rav Asi cited the following posuk, an alternative posuk regarding those who don't stop. Hoy Moishchei Ha'avoin Bechavlei Hashav. Rashi says on this. Bechavlei hashav, bechavolim she'enom chazokim, elanoifim linotek, hein moishchin ha'avon al atzmam, they draw sin upon them, avzalya, they dibor b'yama hu ne'enash. Here, even by mere speech, which is similar to these light cords, these, what we call, chavolim she'enom chazokim, by mere speech, he draws upon himself sin, and therefore will, sin which warrants punishment. And a third approach, Rav Ado Bar Avo, Omar Mehocha. Ki Devar Hashem Boza. The word Devar has to do with Dibor. That means that through Dibor he denigrated the word of Hashem through speaking, through saying the words of Kriyashma in the filthy alley. In Posak Maschoron, if a person restrains himself and stops, what is his reward? Omer Rabbi Avo, Olav HaKosuv Omer, regarding him, the Posak says, Ubedavar Hazeh Tarichu Yomim. And through this Dibor, namely that Dibor's speech, through your care in not speaking when you should not speak, one merits long life. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice Rav Huna's name is highlighted as we will see another Memra of his later on Chof Hey Omen Aleph. Omar Rav Huna, Hoysa Taliso Chaguro Lo Almosnov. If a person he is what we would say is shirtless. In other words, his garment is wrapped around his loins, his midsection. Mutar Likros Kriyashma. Even though he doesn't appear in the most respectable fashion, nevertheless, it is sufficient that he's covered this way, so that his midsection, from his midsection downwards, is covered. Even though his chest is exposed, he can say Kriyashma. Tanya Namihochi, a Tanaic source that supports this. Hoysa Taliso shall beg it, v'shalor v'shal sak hagura al mosnov. If a garment, whether it be made of fabric, of leather, or of sackcloth, is girded around his midsection, mutar likros kriyashma. As we said before, he's covered from his midsection down, from his waist down. Avol, the Gemara continues at the top of Chof Hei Omet Aleph. Avol litfilo, achi chasil slibo. But with regard to Shmone Esrei, shirtless is unacceptable. He has to have his chest covered. Rashi at the top says, a person has to show himself as if he is standing in front of a king, and stand in a state of awe. The nature of Kriyashma is not the same. It's a situation where one is personally accepting upon himself the heavenly kingdom, but it's not portrayed as someone standing in front of the Almighty. The Omer Rav Huna Shochach v'nichnas b'tfilin lebeis hakiseh. This, as we pointed out before, is another memra of Rav Huna. This regards someone who forgot himself and entered the bathroom facility with his tefillin. Meniach Yado Aleim Ad Shigmor. Now, we have learned before that if a person wants to relieve himself, certainly with regard to solid waste, he is not to relieve himself while wearing his tefillin. Here, a person forgot himself. He sat down to relieve himself from solid waste. What does he do? So, put your hand upon him. It says, Meniach Yado Aleim Ad Shigmor, until you finish. And it could be a long time. A person, each person, depending on his situation, it might be a long time. So the Gemara asks, what are we going to let him stay there all that time with his tefillin on, just with his hands over it, over them? Ad Shigmor Salka Beitoch. So, Elo, Kide Omer of Nachman Yitzhak, rather, as Rav Nachman explains, Ad Shigmor Omud Harish, Omud Rishon. Until the first deposit exits his body, and at that point, even though he feels that he needs to relieve himself more, no, he has to, at this point, take off the tefillin and then return to relieving himself. The Gemara asks, well, why do we leave him there any amount of time? Let us insist that he pauses then and there, and get up and remove the tefillin. So the Gemara answers, we don't insist on that. Based on Rav Shmuel Amliel's teaching, which will become very clear, it would basically be unhealthful for the person who needs to release a deposit of solid waste to insist that he gets up before that comes out. The Sanya, Rav Shmuel Amliel Omer, Omud HaChozer, maybe it's Odom Lidei Hedroiken. Omud literally is a pillar, but it's a reference to the first deposit of solid waste, hachozer, that one retracts into his body, will bring a person to a disease called hedroiken. Rashi says, choli hamatzveh is a keres. It's a type of illness that causes the inflammation or the bloating of one's belly. Another point mentioned by Rav Shmuel Amliel is silon hachozer. This is a case of urine that is about to emerge, and he withholds it. Maybe as odom lidei yerokon, it brings to a person to that disease, the disease known as yerokon. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.